Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more Boston sports talk. Gresh and Keith on EEI.
Yeah, Grant Williams meets you at the top floor.
Pull up three.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, Jaylen Brown.
Horford, two for two.
Doesn't absolutely get any shot they want.
Tatum pulls up for the shot. Sits down. Jason Tatum has just tied Larry Bird for fifth all time on the Celtics three-point list of made threes.
Tatum all the way with two. Nice job by Tatum.
Smart throws it there, and Williams is waiting on the other side. And the Celtics win easily, 108-90.
Celtics are turning it around, led by Grant Williams. How about that from Scal? Pump it up, Grant Williams.
Yeah, they like that. Oh, yeah, Grant Williams. Meet you at the top floor.
Yeah, top floor, Grant Williams.
He did have 2 points.
Ninth floor. He did have two, that's right.
He did have two. Two big ones.
25 minutes, I think he played last night, something like that.
Yeah, they love him. I know. I can't explain it. Yeah. I don't understand what it is. He's a nice guy. They want to reward him.
Is that maybe for you, Rich Keefe, as we hit 1201 with Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network? Is that maybe your is that your current biggest Boston sports conundrum in that this guy plays and you can't figure it out? Like, is there anybody else on any of the other rosters in town that confound you in the playing time that they get? Like Grant Williams.
No, because like with Linus Ullmark, I was shocked that they signed him to that contract. But now that he's on the team, we're obviously going to play him half the time and whatever. Like, that signing was weird. Yeah, but the Grant Williams, he starts when Time Lord's out. He's like the first or second guy off the bench most of the night. I don't get it. Like, I think he's the worst player on the team. But whatever.
Was he worse than Taco Fall?
No, at least Taco could block a shot for you. I think it protect the rim.
You know what pissed me off last year is they had Taco. I think Stevens put him in a game where there was like, I think it was a half a second left. Yeah. Or like one of these improbable, you can barely get the shots off.
And they screwed it up because he didn't, he was like defending the inbound, then they passed it and they had a shot.
Well, he was waving his arms.
Yeah, is that against the little Raptors, I think?
Why?
I
know he should just be standing in front of the guy with his arms in the air and make him throw it over, make him throw it like 10 feet in the air to get it over him.
You see, is it a commercial? Is that Taco commercial?
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
He's playing in Cleveland. I couldn't believe it.
He's in like some sort of insurance commercial, and I'm like, what?
Oh, Arbella, I think.
Yeah, he's like at like a carnival or whatever.
Yeah,
There's also one of him at a laundromat.
In a nameless jersey.
No, yeah, his t-shirt says Taco O'Falls.
I mean, what are we doing here? Like, seriously?
I don't get it.
How does this guy, even the third taco brand that is out there, right?
He's tall.
So if Taco Bell is number one, and then on the West Coast, there's Del Taco.
Right.
Who would be the third or fourth
Taco Charlton? He's a DN.
Oh,
right?
That's true. I think he might have had a messy. I can't remember if Taco Charlton had a messy past or not.
He might have.
But like Taco Fall, you would think that the third leading taco brand restaurant in the country,
right,
would saddle up with Taco. It's about right.
I would think so. Yeah, the marketing's there.
It's not good enough for Taco Bell.
But he's
and he's like, in Cleveland, so there's no Del Taco.
John's.
Taco John's.
What is that? What?
I don't know. I found
you
it.
Made
it's
that
it's
up.
On the seven best fast food tacos.
Top seven tacos?
It's number four.
That's not bad.
The $2 taco.
There's seven different fast food taco places?
Yeah, another place, El Pollo Loco.
Oh, El Pollo Loco. Okay, that one's been out there for a while. Yeah.
Del Taco number one, Taco Bell number two.
What about Los Pollos Hermanos?
Sorry.
Not on there?
Not on there.
They should be the best one. They're just an overrated fantasy football team in the Gresham Keefe League, according to
give a
to
quick
someone.
Message to our Spanish-speaking listeners.
Apparently, Jack in the Box also has a pretty good taco.
Yeah, that doesn't count, that. Though. No, they're a burger
take a
place.
Take a hike.
Yeah, that's like a... It's like burger places that have chicken.
What about a green burrito?
That's the name of a place?
Yeah, I guess so.
It sounds like what Tom Brady would eat.
Yeah.
It looks like it might be owned by the same people who own Carl's Jr.'s.
Got it. So it's
green burrito. Another. Is what happens when I eat a burrito.
All right.
Are there six better athletes named Taco before Taco Fall?
No.
Taco Charlton is.
I already mentioned.
All right. But that's the thing. How many other tacos have there been in sports?
There's only one taco in the NBA. Taco Fall. There's no other tacos.
That's right. Well, there was Taco Charlton. There's got to be other. Come on, soccer hasn't had a taco or two.
There was a musician named Taco.
Well, yes.
There's no baseball tacos.
There's no what?
No baseball tacos.
Baseball has never had a player named Taco, even a nickname. And
at least according to my research,
that's the sport of nicknames.
Well,
too.
I can't speak to the nicknames.
You would think that Marloni would have played with somebody that they called Taco.
I go in for you, Rich. Let's see if Rich knows where he went to college. We've got former Seahawks wide receiver Taco Wallace.
Oh, I know where he went to school.
You do?
I'm pretty sure.
Taco Wallace. I don't know. I don't remember him at all.
Can I guess Western Michigan?
No, you're thinking Seneca Wallace. He went to Iowa State.
But I thought Taco Wallace did too, but I could be wrong.
Maybe they could be brothers.
The Wallace brothers.
Seneca and Taco.
I was going to say Iowa State.
What is it, John? What's the answer?
Hold on. I didn't actually know the answer.
Why would you ask?
There's a
Mount San Antonio College in California.
All right, it's a made-up school and a made-up player.
Yeah,
that
okay.
does not count.
How about
he's got a Wikipedia page.
Well, that's pretty good.
There's a Dutch golfer named Taco Remkes.
Okay, here
Taco
we go.
Taco Remkes. He's got to be in the top 10 tacos.
I would think that Taco Fall, though, would be
still
over
the best.
Taco yeah. Lemke.
He had a also good a Dutch good. Cyclist named Taco Vanderhorn.
Taco Vanderhorn.
I mean, now we're getting there. We had That's Taco. We had the illegitimate son of Mark Lemke, Taco Lemke.
Shine bet three figures on that guy.
Now we got.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Won
luckily,
me a lot
his
of
name
money.
Isn't Sergey Vanderhorn. Good grief. Taco Survey Vandeveld or whatever. Who would have thought that we would have gotten into this all because of the Celtics? But this is what happened when the Celtics blow doors against
Houston's so bad.
Terrible team.
Imagine if that's your squad. You got to root on and follow that for 82 games. So
brutal.
They lost 15 straight games. They're 1-16 on the year. Celtics have already beaten them twice. They have the number 2 overall pick in the draft, Jalen Green. Does not appear to be a great shooter, but we'll see. I think he'll at least
he's
maybe
young.
Turn into something. He's
yeah,
super
yeah,
young.
Yeah.
He's
super young. He's there we go.
So right. John Wall is, they showed him on the bench a couple of times.
Great rapper.
And he was a part of the, is he?
Wall.
Okay. I'm talking about John Wall.
Well, they're both about as famous.
Now, they swapped him for Westbrook, right? Like, that was part of the deal. It was like 2 on-trade
yes.
contract. So
yeah,
Westbrook
yeah, yeah.
can still play. He might yep. be overrated. He might be a flawed player, whatever. John Wall, I believe, is healthy.
I do believe that is correct.
But he's not playing because they're yep. going with the young squad. He is making $44 million.
Well, you got to pay him when they're young.
To dress nice and wear a mask on the bench at these games.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that insane?
$44 million.
To not play.
To
and not
nothing.
Even like recover from an injury, just to like hang out. That is wild to me. Like, do they want the number one pick that badly? Guess what? You'd probably still get it with John Wall. If you play him, couldn't you convince a team to maybe?
No,
guess,
but
not at Washington
that number.
Got him. Washington traded him. Why can't Houston trade him?
Well, they also took back as bad a contract as you probably could have with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
So there is that. However, to think that you're giving a guy $500,000 a game, $500,000 a game to do nothing. To not even be like a leader, to
it's insane. Just, he just sits there and watches the team lose game in and game out because
it's like one of those people who get the lottery ticket where it's like $5,000 a week for life, or that might be like Publishers Clearinghouse or something.
Yeah,
I mean John Wall. For one NBA season, we're going to give you $500,000 a game, and you don't have to do nothing.
He made $500,000 to watch the game last night.
Shh.
It's insane when you really break it down that way.
And they're down 30 in the fourth quarter.
But like they're playing Eric Gordon. He's like a veteran guy. You know what I mean? Like I don't really understand why like you're not like if you play John Wall, does Jalen Green not develop? Or, like, what's – I don't understand what even what the argument is against
him. I don't either. Maybe it's one – I don't know. Maybe they're looking to trade him. I mean, but maybe it's one of those deals where it's like you throw that guy into a deal to get something done.
It really is flummoxing, and he makes so much – because, like, remember when the Celtics made that trade, like the great Paul Pierce trade, and then all of a sudden, like, Keith Bogans just sat there. You're like, all right, if you're not paying Keith Bogans, whatever it is, fine. But John Wall is just like another
right.
level.
When you're paying a guy
$44 million.
Right. You're paying him $50,000 a game to sit. That's one thing.
Yes.
$500,000 a game to sit. Wow. Completely different. Joining us now on the Harbor One hotline, we know the Patriots are going to take on the Tennessee Titans coming up on Sunday at Gillette Stadium. We will have your pregame from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. He is the former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, coached 30 years in the NFL, and has turned into one hell of a color analyst. Dave McGinnis, Titans color analyst, with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Coach, it's Gresh and Keith in Boston. How are you?
Guys, thanks so much for having me on. I'm doing really good. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you and to all your listeners before we get started talking ball here.
There we go.
Same to you.
And how many of the guys on your squad are going to be upright come Sunday? Because you see Julio Jones is down, and you got Johnson, the wide receiver, pulls a hamstring. Brown is dinged up. Had to put, the pass rusher, Bud Dupree, on IR. Do you got any bodies left, Coach?
Guys, this has been a really strange and a fluid situation all year for Mike Vrabel and this football team. I mean, it really has been. As you said, this is my 35th year in the league, and I've never witnessed anything like this. Now, the bottom line to all of that, you guys know Mike Vrabel very, very well, just like I do. He's never going to use that as a reason for, you know, a team being successful or unsuccessful. But it's been very, very strange. I think, you know, they're at the threshold of having used, to this point, 84 different players, you know, with still a lot of time left in this season. It's pretty unprecedented. And it's a big kudos to he and his staff and this locker room for what they've been able to do. But as you say, look, you guys have been in the National Football League a long time, just like I have. Nobody really cares, right? Nobody cares. I mean, the end of the day, at the end of 3 hours and 17 minutes, you've got to win a game. And no matter how you have to do it, that's all that people care about. And really, that's all the league is based on. We are now in the latter half of a 17-week season for the first time in the history of the National Football League, 17 real games that count. And so this is the push that everybody's starting to make. You've either positioned yourself for the tournament to this point and need to continue to keep your position, or you're starting to push for an even better position. And so having healthy bodies always helps. All the years that I coached, the best years that I was a guru in coaching, I had the best players. I mean, that's just the way it works. And so you got to have your guys healthy. But Mike Vrabel, he will never, ever say one word about it. And so that's about all I'm going to say about it, too, because it's a reality, but you still got to go win a game.
Dave, how does this team, in a span of 3 weeks, beat the Rams in L.A. and then lose to the Texans at home?
Well, you can't look. Guys, and again, as I say, and I really enjoy being on with you guys because you're very knowledgeable NFL people. Have you guys ever called a game or been involved, seen a game play? I know that I haven't in the over nearly 600 games that I've coached in this league where you turn it over five times and win it.
No.
I mean, no, you can't do it. I mean, and, you know, and the Titans last week, as painful as it was to remember, it was the fact they turned it over five times and they got zero turnovers back. And so your chances of winning an NFL football game like that, regardless of who you have healthy or not, you've taken your chances way, way down the line. That's what happened in this game.
Dave McGinnis, the color analyst of the Tennessee Titans with Gresh and Keefe here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Coach, was that game in any way, did it like sound the alarms offensively that you don't have the running back, you haven't been able to replace him, can't run the ball, quarterback turned it over a ton? Do you think that is just a small snapshot over the course of a 17-week season, or an indicator that this offense is really struggling to find themselves without Derrick Henry?
Well, you're not going to replace Derrick Henry with any singular person, correct? I mean, look, this guy was a generational back. I first came into the league 36 years ago, or however long it was, 1986. I'm not very good with math, but we had Walter Payton there in Chicago, where you can turn and hand it to a guy, you know, constantly, people even knowing you're going to hand it and you still win. Well, that's what was going on here with Derrick Henry. He's not there anymore. So now they are working their way through a running back by committee, which is really, I mean, they were a little bit of a, the Titans were a little bit of an anomaly in the National Football League with Derrick Henry as having a singular back that you fed it that many times to. Most everybody else is being very successful doing it by committee, just like what's going on up there right now in New England. So they're working their way through that. But as you say, regardless of who you have playing, and they're missing pieces. They are missing pieces offensively, but regardless of who you still have to be able to play sound football, and then you have to be able to play and not help your opponent. And again, I will refer back to five turnovers. That's helping your opponent a lot, regardless of their ability.
Ryan Tannehill, his first 2 years in Tennessee, had some really impressive numbers. I think it was 55 touchdown passes, only 13 picks. This year, even prior to the four interception game last week, numbers aren't even close. 13 touchdowns, now 12 interceptions. Is it an Arthur Smith reason as to why Tannehill looks like this, or what do you think is going on with him?
Well, I mean, he just had, you know, last week in those things, I mean, once we, the thing that happened last week were the five that are ones that really stick out to me, is that once they got down because of the turnovers, it was 19-0, so you're down three scores. So automatically now, I mean, this is not a football team that's built philosophically nor structurally to throw it 52 times a game. And that's what they ended up having to do. And some of those throws at the end were, you know, there's a difference, guys, and you guys know this as well as me. There's a difference in throwing it 52 times, rhythmically throwing it on rhythm, throwing it on pace, throwing it in flow. And then there's a difference in throwing because you have to. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Lovie Smith, their defensive coordinator, just sat back and was able to play coverage. And so, you know, I've done this long enough, you know, especially on the defensive side of the ball, to know that if you can get a quarterback in that type of situation, well, then everything's in your favor, because your defensive front is just going to get in track stances. They're going to disregard the run because the run game is now out of your purveyance. And so they'll just, you know, that's what happened then. Now, before, some of the things he's had some early on in the season, there were some ricochets, you know, off of receivers that were intercepted. That, to me, you know, I've never put on a quarterback. And then he's made some bad decisions and some bad throws. And so that's where we are with him. His entire body of work, as you said, has been better than this, and it needs to be better than what it was last week moving forward. I mean, that's the only way that I can judge him. I don't think he's completely fallen off a cliff, but he clearly was not on target last week.
Titans color analyst Dave McGinnis, longtime coach in the National Football League, here with Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Coach, you were a defensive guy. You know what you're looking at when you see quarterbacks. What do you see in Mac Jones?
Well, look, we do it. I've vetted every draft since I came into the league in 1986. And when I was vetting this guy, you know, watching him, of course, you know, I'm in Southeastern Conference country, but we do a very extensive draft show here with Titans Radio every year, and, you know, do all the work. I mean, this guy, to me, went to the perfect place. The perfect place. That's what he was. That's what he was down there in Alabama. Look, the guy's not going to make very many mistakes. He's extremely accurate. But the other thing that he is he understands what he's looking at when the ball is snapped, both pre and post snap. I mean, I'm very, very impressed with him. I'm very impressed with what, you know, Josh McDaniels has done with him. As soon as he was drafted there, you know, they asked me on the draft show we were doing, what do you think about this? I said, could not have been a more perfect marriage of a player and a place to go. And so, I mean, I've been extremely impressed. He's got an excellent run game to go with him, but you can tell whether a guy's been in the league 1 year or whether he's been in there 15 years if he understands, you know, if you're a defensive coach, especially when you're studying tape, if he understands what he's seen pre and post snap. This guy, at clearly a very young age, understands what he's seen pre and post snap. I think it, to me, I mean, he's the rookie of the year as far as I'm concerned, and whatever else he gets. But I know Bill Belichick doesn't worry about any of that. All he worries about is winning ball games. This guy is winning ball games.
Is the talk in Tennessee, Dave, that the Titans can still be a Super Bowl team, or did that conversation change when Derrick Henry went down?
You know, Mike Vrabel has always been very good at getting a team back to center after either a loss or a win. And, you know, they've had, you know, a lot of wins in a row. This was a bad loss, but he always puts them on point, on message, you know, gets them back to center. They've never really talked about Super Bowl here. He doesn't talk about that. He talks about winning the week. Winning the week. Does that sound familiar to what you guys have there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Winning the week. Get back to center. Get back to center and win the week. That's all that happens. I mean, and I've always equated it, you know, sitting at that blackjack table. You start stacking chips one at a time. And once they get high enough, then maybe you've got a chance to make a big push. But until you can stack them one at a time, it really doesn't matter. That's all Mike Vrabel and this staff are worried about. All the other talk around guys, you guys know you live in that universe. People can talk about the Super Bowl at this time of the year all that they want to. The coaches that really get it, and most of them in this league do, and their locker rooms that buy into what they are saying, it's a week-to-week proposition. This is a 17-week, one-game season. That's what the National Football League is.
Dave McGinnis is the color analyst of the Tennessee Titans, coached 30 years in the NFL here with Gresh and Keefe. And, Coach, that leads to Bill Belichick, who's been in the league pushing damn near 50 years now, an unprecedented level of success. I know earlier you said, hey, when you got the players, I was a great coach. I think that does apply for Bill Belichick, but there is that extra layer. Dave, what is it about Bill Belichick to you as a guy who did the job for 30 years in the league that stands out to you as to why this guy is so successful?
He gets it at every level. I mean, I've always had immense respect, you know, for Bill Belichick, immense respect, and still do, because he gets it at every level. And he is one of the best. I've never been on a staff with him. I've coached against him several times. You know, I've been around him in several settings, and I know this. He is as focused on the daily task as anybody ever. I know a lot of guys that have worked for him and say it is a daily focus on task. Stay on task. I think the mantra that they have up, you know, in their building is just do your job. Well, do your job sounds simple, but it entails a lot. It entails preparation. It entails attention to detail, and it entails not getting off message. Look, Bill Belichick to me is the most outstanding coach in the National Football League, you know, for a lot of reasons. And here's the other thing. He has done it in all types of different eras. He has done it, you know, when there was no free agency and no salary cap. He's adjusted to the salary cap and the free agency. He did it for years with a generational quarterback. Now he's doing it. Look, Bill Belichick, to me, the thing that I can say is that, and I've been in this long enough and know a lot of people in this business. I've been blessed to be in it as long as I have. He, to me, is what you want as a head coach, because he gets it on every level.
Dave, last one for me, and it's a little off topic, but I don't know when I'm ever going to get a chance to talk to you again. One of the most impressive people, I think, of all time involved with football was Pat Tillman, and you coached him in the early 2000s there with the Arizona Cardinals. I'm just curious, what was he like as both a person and a player for you?
You know, just since we've had, you know, Veterans Day, of course, I've done – look, I drafted Pat. I was very close to Pat. When we drafted him, I was a defensive coordinator. Then I became the head coach. And you know, I've Pat Tillman, let me just say this, guys. I've been fortunate enough to be involved with 8 Hall of Fame players on teams, with a lot of impressive individuals during my 35 years in the National Football League. Pat Tillman, as a human being, has had the most singular impression on my life as anybody I've ever been around. And Pat Tillman, to me, embodies everything. Not even talking about, I mean, we can take the football completely out of it, but talking about, you know, the honesty, integrity, and dignity, and his straightforwardness as a human being. As I say, there are certain people you meet in life that leave an impression that you will never, ever get. He's left an indelible mark on me, and it will always be a part of my life. And I'm fortunate to have had that. And believe me, I've done made a lot of speeches and a lot of talks about Pat Tillman. And I can never, ever quite be eloquent enough to portray and to be able to verbalize really what he meant to me, but also to a lot of people.
Coach, great perspective. Thank you as always. Great to catch up again. Have a great holiday. Safe trip up here. We'll catch up with you soon, Coach. Thank you.
Guys, thanks so much for having me on. See you Sunday.
Thanks, Dave. There goes Dave McGinnis. One of the best. He's a great interview, and that's a great question. Good pull out of you because there are a lot of people who have, you know, unfortunately, the further we get away from what happened with Pat Tillman, the more people tend to forget about history, but his place in the game, and that's a really good pull. And Dave McGinnis, man, he brings it. He's a ball of energy.
Drafted him, coached him there, because his last season, obviously, was 0-1, and Dave was with the Cardinals, or at least he was the head coach of the Cardinals from like 2000 through 2003. So,
and if we had another, couple minutes, we could have asked him about how he was the Bears coach and didn't know it. He went as the defensive coordinator when he was in Arizona, interviewed for the Chicago head job. They were going to give it to him. Apparently, McCaskey's getting ready to call a press conference. Meanwhile, they haven't even negotiated with him yet. Imagine if that happened in the social media days.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it would be insane. Mm-hmm. People would be going nuts and losing their mind. We had Kiefer Madness coming up. We will talk some communist football, as I say lovingly. Matt Turner, New England Revolution goalkeeper, will be with us at 12:45, and then we'll go full-blown on to the Tennessee Titans. But here's Shime. He's ready to trend.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keith, I think it is. Rich Keith.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
Kiefer Madness.
Where is Keith?
Hey, Keith, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keith is a nice guy.
Keith's a nice guy. Okay. Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness with Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
I bring it.
The guest brought 7 containers to take food home and 3 containers for dessert.
He's spit in the food before.
She had food, but she had Cheetos poured on top of her.
Here we go. It is a Tuesday at 12:30. That means it's time for Kiefer Madness here on Gresh and Keith. And it's a Thanksgiving-themed Kiefer Madness, Gresh.
Because love it.
Thanksgiving is just two short days away. So I'm going to present to you the top 5 best and top 5 worst things about Thanksgiving.
All right.
All right. And we're gonna go side by side. We're going to count down from 5 to 1, but we're going to go 5 best and worst. 4 best and worst, et cetera, et cetera. Pretty easy to do.
We're bringing Larry Bud Melman for this, or are we okay?
Nope. I have my special countdown guy, Chris Sides Shime, to help us out right now. Chris.
Number five
best thing about Thanksgiving is it's the day before Black Friday, which means you are just that much closer to a 50-inch plasma TV for $250. It's a good deal. They're just giving away stuff Black Friday. You been Black Friday shopper?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, friend.
Okay, all right. I know Shime's getting
you love Black Friday shopping.
See, we haven't gotten into this. You know when I like to go shopping?
When's that?
Christmas Eve. You know why?
Why?
Because when you used to be able to go to a mall, you just run people over. So you just bang into people or they get out of the way. But now everything's online.
There's the Cyber Monday, and you can do all that, but the deals are there. You are that close to deals. So you're sitting around Thanksgiving, eating your food, and you're like, you know what, tomorrow, I'm going to save a fortune. They're slashing prices everywhere you go.
I turned Shime on to a place down in Rhode Island that has delicious deals on television. It even made you be like, what is going on?
Yeah. Oh, you got a couple extra TVs. All right, this might be a little controversial.
Uh-oh.
But the number 5 worst thing about Thanksgiving.
Okay.
The pies. Here's Patriots quarterback Mac Jones on pies.
Is it pecan pie or pecan pie?
I don't like that.
Pumpkin pie.
I don't like apple pie either. I don't like.
Wait, you don't like pecan pie or apple pie?
Pumpkin pie? Chocolate chips, chocolate cookies.
I like the chocolate. Chocolate stuff is good.
Thank you, Mac. So Mac has an outrageous diet, especially compared to the last quarterback that was here. But I don't really like pies, and here's why. I think you're kind of settling for a dessert. So you're in between two other massive holidays. So Halloween, you're eating all the candy you can possibly have. Christmas is just around the horizon, where people make gingerbread houses, gingerbread men, and delicious Christmas cookies, which I would prefer. Whereas in Thanksgiving, it's all about these pies. And yeah, I'll eat a pumpkin pie, but compared to other desserts, like a big bowl of ice cream or something like that, pies are not that good. Pecan pie? Trash. Way too sweet. It's a cavity waiting to happen. Then you get into like these lemon meringues and these apples. I don't need the pie. I think I'm anti-pie. It's not, for as bad as it is for you, it's not good enough.
A round of applause okay. for you, friend.
All right.
There are only two kinds of pies that I like.
Be careful.
No. One is you get the Oreo pie shell.
Okay.
And you do the Oreo cookie pie where you take like cookies and cream ice cream. You let it melt a little bit. Jam that thing down in there. Slam some chocolate sauce on it. Throw it in the freezer.
Now you're talking.
Now you're talking. Yeah. Or the chocolate pudding pie.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I also have two really favorite pies, but I'm going to leave that there.
I love apple pie. I will die on this hill alone on this show. I don't care. It is the best Thanksgiving dessert. It's a dessert you can have year-round.
Stop.
A warm apple pie with a dollop of ice cream.
No, the dollop of ice cream is the only thing that sells it. The a la mode part is the only thing that's any good on it.
Yeah.
No.
I was like, the a la mode, a la mode.
The pie is tremendous. I had some on Saturday.
I know. Your second Thanksgiving he had. Guess he'll got three more Thanksgivings. All right, next.
Yours is whoopie pie.
Number four.
All right, the number four best thing about Thanksgiving is spending time with your family. Coincidentally, the number four worst thing about Thanksgiving is spending time with your family. There's always, it's basically a Facebook meme brought to life.
Because
you might have conversations with maybe an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, a grandma, somebody you haven't seen a lot of, but you're all now huddled around the table. You can only talk about the weather and the game that's on TV so often that you might have to go down another direction, which you don't want to go down.
I'm not a racist.
So there's that. There's always the uncle that you're like, yeah, I think he's a good guy. Not really sure.
You need to leave politics out of it and stop making me question my morals.
And now you're going to have, this year you're going to have the, well, you know that Uncle So-and-so is not vaccinated. Well, is he invited? It's like, he's invited, but he said he'll stay in the garage. Like, it's going to be.
When has a vaccine actually worked?
It's going to be a mess. There's going to be, I would feel like last year there was probably an uptick in fights at Thanksgiving, but I also think there was less gathering. Certainly there was people that still did it,
yeah,
but there wasn't as many. This year, I think you're opening the floodgates again, and I think there's going to be more family fights this Thanksgiving than we've had recently.
Yeah, I think it depends on how deep the family gathering goes. I prefer the family tree to be a coconut tree. You know why?
Why is that?
No branches.
Okay. Next one.
Number three.
Let's not outthink it. It's the food. You are allowed to stuff your face with whatever you want. And even if you don't like every single side, there's enough of them. It's the one holiday where you just say, eat as much as you want. No one's going to judge you. You can lay around talking about how full you are. It's the best. So the number three best thing about Thanksgiving is very clearly the food.
Turkey leg, you taste so good.
The number three worst thing, it's got to be the kids' table. Here's the thing with the kids' table. Now, you and I are so far enough removed from it, but there's a lot of people that, and maybe like John, who are still in the, well, I know you're old enough to drink, but you actually got to sit with your little four-year-old cousin because we don't have enough room at the big table. So you got to go down there, or not even a kids' table. It's like a makeshift thing. They're like, hey, go grab that like book and put your plate on it. You're like, wait a minute. It's Thanksgiving. It's like the best meal ever, and I can't sit at the dining room table. It's like, no, we don't have room for you. So go sit over there. Pull something or put the coffee table over, and that's how you're eating. Not ideal.
Not until you're off mom and dad's insurance can you sit at the big table.
That's right. Next
number two.
All right, this a lot of people would probably think is number one, but number two is actually for best things about Thanksgiving is the football. It's the you're starting the game at 12:30, and now you got the night game. It's just three straight games. There's no other games you have to hop to, so you can your fantasy week starts early, your gambling week starts a little bit earlier, and it's a tradition unlike any other. So number two is the football. It's the most synonymous holiday with a sport that there is.
Oh, yeah,
I love football.
Because there's college basketball, and on Thanksgiving,
nobody's watching that.
No way.
I think
NBA, maybe.
NBA and Christmas does a good job.
Christmas.
Like, they have day. But Thanksgiving, you immediately think football. Maybe you even have the game with your friends. You go out and play a rough two hands beforehand, right? People, obviously, in Massachusetts, all the Thanksgiving Day high school games.
A lot of people do that the night before Thanksgiving.
There's a lot of rough two hands. That is also true. The number two worst thing about it is, especially when you're going with a big group, you kind of have to dress up a little. You can't just wear what I normally wear. You're making a face at me, Gresh, and that makes me think you haven't been to a lot of real family functions. You have to put on...
No, I don't care what those people think of what I wear. If I'm in my Who Farted t-shirt, I'm there to eat some turkey. Well, the grandma's going to say, like, if I wore it to church, then Jesus Ruth would be upset. But when I wear it to her house...
But so I feel like you have to wear, like, you're a little guy. You put on, like, a little sweater on. You got to go. It's a little stuffy. You're at your grandparents' house. They got the heat cranking. It's a little bit. You're like, oh, you can't wear, like, sweats or mesh shorts. Your wife's giving you the side eye because you're walking down in wind pants. She's like, turn around. We're not wearing wind pants to Thanksgiving.
Sounds like this has happened to you before.
It has a little bit. I like to wear...
How many times?
I like to wear what I wear, is sweatpants. That's what I wear. Mesh shorts, maybe, because I know the heat's going to be cranking. Anytime you're around old people, or really young people, they're like, it can't be too cold in the house, so I'm sweating eating my Thanksgiving dinner. I don't like to dress up, ever.
Can you go shorts underneath a decent pair of pants, so that way you can lose the pants? Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I got my belly now. I've eaten so much turkey. Yeah, no, that's true. All right, what else we got, Sean?
Number one!
All right, the number one worst thing, let's start with the worst thing, is definitely the traffic. It's without question the traffic. It seems like it's hard to line up when it is. It used to always be the Wednesday. The Wednesday was just a disaster because more people, it feels like, travel on Thanksgiving, but they don't all fly. It's all driving distance traveling and just the log jam of traffic. And then if you want to stay the long weekend, now you're driving home on Sunday and you're stuck in it again. So it takes you five times as long to get anywhere. So the day, the traffic is the worst. The best thing, the day drinking. It's the best day drinking day of them all. Because here's the thing. As soon as that Lions game kicks off at 12:30, you can go ahead and start drinking. Start drinking. And here's the other great thing. You can get sneaky, hammered, pass out, and then you're like, oh, the tryptophan. I had so much turkey today.
It's a good call. I didn't think of that.
Nobody's like, you got passed out drunk. They're like, oh, you had so much turkey. I'm like, yeah, I had so much turkey. That's what it is.
Well, that was my thing.
Start drinking early. And if you're in charge of cooking, you're allowed to drink as soon as you start cooking. Yep. So if you start at like 8 o'clock in the morning, Bloody Mary, boom. Great day. So there you go. Those are your top five best and worst things about Thanksgiving.
That is fantastic. Anybody has any quibbles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Gresh Keith. That's where you find us on Instagram or text 37937. Matt Turner, New England Revs goalkeeper, joins us next.
Andy Gresh and Rich Keith. This is Gresh and Keith on EEI.
It's 12:47 with Gresh and Keith and the New England Revolution, the number one seed. We'll begin the 2021 MLS Cup playoffs on Tuesday, November 30th, against New York City FC, which is the number four seed. That'll be in the Eastern Conference semifinal. Joining us right now on the Harbor One hotline is the MLS Goalkeeper of the Year, Matt Turner, back with Gresh and Keith. Matt, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, so let's talk a little bit about what your last couple of weeks have been like. You've been with the U.S. men's national team. You were called in for World Cup qualifiers. I know you didn't play, but it's been different for you the past couple of weeks. So just kind of take us through your month of November.
Yeah, definitely a little bit more low-key in terms of playing than I had the rest of the year. Obviously frustrated not to be playing in those games, but understanding that, you know, I'm part of something bigger than myself, and as long as the results are good and we qualify for the World Cup, then I'll be a happy guy. So this last month, been having a little more time on the training ground to, you know, work through some kinks in my game and just focusing completely on the playoffs.
Matt, how soon before those games in the qualifying do you find out whether you're in or out? What's that communication like?
It was usually like the day before. So I felt like, you know, I had a couple of days of training to sort of try to make my case of why I should play. And then after that, you know, the coach can make the decisions and he gives me plenty of time to sort of come to terms with what my role will be for that game.
So, Matt, you guys get 23 days of rest, which actually kind of seems a bit difficult sometimes. How do you guys make sure you maintain the form you've had all year and really come out strong against New York?
It's definitely a challenge, and I think that we've had not quite this long of layoffs during the season, but a few times, especially down the stretch, we had, you know, 10 or 12 days in between games sometimes, and I think we were disappointed with ourselves with how we started some of those games. So it's definitely good experiences that we've had in the past, and we've taken that into training, onto the training ground, and, you know, been able to hold ourselves to a certain standard and expectation of what it's going to take to win the playoffs. And we understand that it's a bit of a disadvantage. Last year we had a game under our belts and some momentum going when we went to Philadelphia, who is the number one overall seed, and they were a little flat. We came out in the first 25 minutes and scored two goals and just coasted our way to a win there. So same again, we know that teams will have a little bit, we know that New York will have a little bit of momentum, a little bit of confidence. So we need to make sure we ease our way into the game, but start strong.
Revs goalkeeper Matt Turner with Gresh and Keefe. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Look, I know very little about soccer, Matt. I'm the first one to admit it. You guys have home field. How important is it in MLS soccer to have home field in the postseason, if really at all?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. And they just recently, you know, in the last few years, changed the playoff format. It used to be you had to play a team twice, and then you sort of take the combined score to see who goes through. But now it's just one game playoff. So anything can happen, and it's nice to be at home. I think you can see that our home record this year, I think we had only two losses, you know, all season. So being at home is huge. Being at Gillette in particular is huge for us. And, it's really, really important, especially with this new format.
The MLS Cup has eluded the New England Revolution in their long history. And I know you and your teammates haven't been a part of it all, but five losses in the final, is that something that's even mentioned, or that there's sort of like a weight on this franchise's back for having been a really successful franchise yet have not won the whole thing?
Definitely not, to be honest. You know, this organization looks so different than it did a lot of those times when we were in MLS Cups, when we were getting close to winning trophies that way. You know, we won the Supporters Shield this year. We'd never done that before. We have a whole new, you know, sort of technical staff. We have a whole new team and guys that sort of have put that in the past. So, I think, you know, we'll talk about one game at a time. If we get to MLS Cup, which we hope and expect to, then we can have those conversations about it.
You guys took two out of three from New York City FC during the regular season. They've been in great form as of late. This rest is an opportunity to kind of make sure you're as prepared as you can before them. What kind of problems does New York City FC present for you?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't shut them out all season. I think, we lost to them pretty convincingly at Yankee Stadium when we played against them there. And then we had a couple pretty back-and-forth games that were really, really exciting from a neutral's point of view. So they're a team that matches up well against us. They like to play soccer. They don't like to make it, rumble and tumble. They're going to be physical with us. They got some really good playmakers, and they have the golden boot winner, the guy who scored the most goals in the entire league, starting up top. So they have a really strong team. I think they had a couple bad runs of form, but they're a lot better than a four seed shows.
All right, Matt, Thanksgiving plate. What's the perfect Thanksgiving plate for Matt Turner?
Ooh, definitely turkey, a little bit of white and a little bit of the dark meat as well. Bread stuffing, mashed potatoes, gravy all over, and I love a little green bean casserole.
Dessert?
That's pretty good.
You got a favorite dessert mixed in there? A little pie?
Of course. Apple pie with a scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Oh, you're speaking Shime's language over here.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he was just
some would say
about.
The scoop of ice cream is really what puts it over
part.
The top or makes the whole thing.
That's literally why you have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have a piece of apple pie.
Correct.
Gotcha. There you go.
Correct.
Matt Turner is the MLS Goalkeeper of the Year, and the New England Revolution are cranking it up in the MLS playoffs Tuesday, November 30th against New York City FC. Matt, thanks for the time. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a great holiday, and hopefully we are talking to you during the Revs three games to glory.
Thank you very much. Yeah, hopefully. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks, Matt. There goes Matt Turner. And yeah, there you go. See, he's with, yeah.
Yeah.
The ice cream is really
you
got to
put loaded up with ice cream, a little slice of pie.
French vanilla, yeah. Small mm-hmm. slice of pie. Mm-hmm. Give me two scoops of French vanilla. There
By the way, I don't think he is going to be, and I don't think he probably wants to talk about this now going into the playoffs. I don't think he's going to be the Revs goalie for much longer. I feel like one of these big European teams is going to take him.
You mean somebody's going to swoop in with a big money offer?
Yes.
Well, I do not know how those transfers work, but I do remember
cash.
This. But, well, that is true. But friend Taylor Twellman at one point in time, mm-hmm. a European league tried to swoop in and buy his services, and I know that got shot down. So I don't know if MLS has the ability to shoot it down anymore. Or if there's just so much money that it's like, okay.
Team has to approach the Revolution first and be like, hey, we're willing to pay you this amount of money to take him from you kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And it has to be in a certain transfer window.
It's going to happen. I mean, I would assume, because I feel like the best American players usually are the goalies. Like, those guys translate over there.
If you think these people can come in and steal my players for money, you're right.
The goalkeeper for the U.S. team right now is Man City's goalie, Zach Steffen, and he's pushing Zach Steffen for the job. So there's going to be a European team that'll come pick
him. Think
about
how many European teams are better than the teams in the MLS. Like, it's not just one league over there.
No, there's the Bundesliga, there's La Liga, there's the Premier League. There's so many different ones.
Yeah, there's no Lukaku in the MLS. Or
John Henry is going to screw Kraft, and he's going to take him for Liverpool.
That'd be kind of funny.
That's what's happening. That's what's happening.
And LeBron's there for the announcement.
The whole time.
Drive you nuts, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good poll. That's a really good call. We're on to Tennessee. The Patriots are taking on the Titans. And Thanksgiving is around the corner. We have to revisit a couple of things from Kiefer Madness. Final hour next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.